We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. 1 hour from now, our buddy Steve Fezzik of pregame.com will join us to talk about week number 13 in the NFL. Doesn't it have a different feel? Like, I always feel like I say week 13, it's like, oh no, it's almost over. That extra week this year changes everything. It's like, oh well, it's week 13, but we have 18 this year. Feels different.
I was thinking, I mean, even if you include playoffs, we're only like halfway through the season.
We've got a lot of football. We're going through mid-February here. So we've got a lot of football to go. How many weeks of the Eagles do we have left? Well, at least five. We'll see if we have six, if the Eagles can rally to make the postseason this year. They're going to need to play better. We'll see if they even have their quarterback on Sunday, or is it Gardner Minshew? Let's talk some Eagles and some NFL with Ben Brown of Pro Football Focus. He joins us right now as we get set for NFL Week 13. Ben, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. I mean, I got Group of Five football on my TV, so I cannot complain whatsoever. How are you doing, Joel?
Oh, we're doing great. Yes, a big football weekend, some great college games. Might have to pick your brain about that as well before we're done. Yes, conference championship weekend is upon us and the NFL. Ben, let's start with the Eagles. They had a nice little run going before they had a complete clunker last week against the New York Giants. Now they go play the Jets. They are currently 7-point favorites in this game. What do you make of this game? And I guess the big question is, with the game, we're still unsure who's going to play at quarterback because Jalen Hurts hurt his ankle late in the other game against the Giants. How much of a downgrade for you, Ben, if it is Gardner Minshew versus Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is a really interesting question, right? Obviously, this game in general, 45-point total. I do lean a little bit toward the under. I do think it's going to be more of a defensive, you know, struggle. If we see Gardner Minshew, I do think that is a pretty decent drop-off right now, right? We have basically right around 935 snaps of Gardner Minshew in the NFL. Jalen Hurts right around 600. You know, Gardner Minshew has that higher sack rate, lower PFF grade, lower EPA per play. So even – that's all from a passing perspective, right? Of course, we have Jalen Hurts who still brings quite a bit with his rushing ability, and you see some of that in his sack percentage and how much he's taking compared to Gardner Minshew. But I do think it is a pretty big drop-off for him in a spot where the Eagles, you know, absolutely need it if they want to kind of stay relevant in that NFC playoff race.
Ben, as far as Eagles in the race, last week's loss obviously hurt them. I wouldn't say it ended it for them. There's still a lot of football to play, and they're kind of in that muck with everyone. When you look at the NFC playoff race for the seventh seed, let's say the Niners are going to find their way there as the sixth. So if we kind of group the teams with the Washington football team, the Eagles, Minnesota, Atlanta, Carolina, which of those teams do you like the best, and what kind of chance do you give the Eagles to get there and make the playoffs?
Yeah, definitely. So we have the Eagles right around a 20% chance of making the playoffs at this time. You know, that was a pretty significant loss, unfortunately, last week, right around like a 30% leverage play. They would have been over 50% if they would have won last week. We have them right around 20%. Of course, you know, Minnesota's kind of in the driver's seat there. There also is, you know, Washington with Taylor Heineke, kind of depending on how their matchup goes, right? Because the Eagles kind of got a decent break with the Saints losing. It seems like the Saints are basically completely out of that NFC picture in general. So if the Raiders, if the Raiders can potentially beat Washington, it's really going to come down to the Eagles and the Vikings from how I'm seeing things as far as, you know, that seventh seed in the NFC wildcard race.
Ben, when you kind of project this thing forward with the Eagles and the games they have left, where's the big difficulty? I mean, I don't think it's this week against the Jets. They do play Washington twice in a matter of 3 weeks. The Giants are also in there. And we're already projecting out here in Philadelphia that maybe Dallas won't be playing their players in week 18. It feels like Washington is the tricky spot. What do you make of that Washington team right now? The Eagles will still see them twice before the season ends.
Yeah, and it starts with how Taylor Heineke plays, right? Over the past three games, Taylor Heineke has been, you know, the best PFF passing quarterback in the NFL. So if he plays close to that level, they're a really difficult team to beat. They do have some injuries along the defensive line, especially. It's kind of been surprising because, you know, since the Chase Young injury, they have actually played probably better than expectation. If they can maintain that, that's going to be a really difficult match for the Eagles. They obviously have to win, you know, the first one at home here coming up in 2 weeks after their bye. If they do that, I do think, you know, some things get right for them. They can beat the Giants, and they got to beat Washington again there. That's kind of when, you know, you're asking that question as far as does Dallas even have to play anybody last week of the season? If they go 5-0 here, they are definitely in control, I would say, of that wild card race.
Ben, when you look at the Eagles the last 5 or 6 weeks, it has become the best rushing offense in the NFL, despite not having, you know, one great back. It's committee, and clearly Jalen Hurts, he had 77 yards last week. He's also a big part of this. When you watch a run game like this, do you wonder if it could continue? Is this like passing offenses with great quarterbacks? You kind of just expect every week it's going to show up because Aaron Rodgers is great always. Patrick Mahomes is pretty much always great as well. Running offenses, there's like a fear, I think, that we have in the fan base here that, yeah, they're going to get stopped 1 week. What do you make of this Eagles run game right now? And do you think it could sustain the rest of the season, you know, at a pretty high level?
Yeah, definitely. And it all comes, you know, obviously that breaks down to Jalen Hurts, right? He offers something that so many other quarterbacks cannot offer at the quarterback position. We do see, you know, from an EPA perspective, quarterback runs are more valuable than running back runs, right? Just with the added element that they bring in order to what they have to defend from the defender. So it's kind of, if he's in there, and I think that's more sustainable in some ways than his passing game, I do think that they can definitely stay relevant there. And he has performed enough in the passing game to the point where he has, you know, the unique dual threat quarterback that they actually need to be successful. And they kind of have been. So I think if he kind of continues on, there's no reason why they can't win these next five games and be, you know, that seventh seed in the NFC wildcard race.
Ben, who is the best team in the NFC right now? The Packers have had a great season. They're headed to a bye week this year. Arizona likely gets Kyler Murray back this week, although we're not fully sure yet. And of course, there's Tampa Bay. You mentioned Dallas. When you look at the NFC right now, who do you think the best team is?
Yeah, definitely. I would say Tampa Bay still, just because they have been there before. They have beaten Green Bay in the playoffs when it actually mattered. I do think Green Bay is definitely that next team. I kind of want to see it with Kyler Murray back, and he's healthy, right? I think that's kind of been the same question with Dallas to a certain extent. Dak Prescott maybe hasn't looked right outside of that Falcons game since he's returned from injury. So I would like to see kind of Kyler Murray perform at least up to expectation with where he was at to start the season before I put them in the upper echelon with, you know, the Packers and the Buccaneers right now. And I do think, you know, it's really tough to think what happened with the Rams. Maybe there is some product of, you know, Sean McVay's play calling not being successful in the second half of the, you know, season. There are some things like that being discussed basically, but there is something that has happened where they just cannot perform efficiently like they were to start the season. You know, Cooper Kupp's just not where they need to be. And maybe that Robert Woods loss is more significant to that offense than what we even projected. So,
Ben Brown, Pro Football Focus, joining us here. Ben, I made a point about 2 months ago on my show, and not a lot of people listening were happy that night, but I believed it then, and I believe it's stronger now, that, you know, you go back to the draft this past year, and the Eagles got a good player. Devontae Smith looked like he's going to be a really nice wide receiver for them, and they needed one. But I look at what the Dallas Cowboys got in Micah Parsons, and, you know, the Eagles kind of wheeled and dealed around that first round. And the point I made a couple months ago was I wish they got the other guy. I wish they ended up with Micah Parsons in that kind of transaction thing they did with moving down, moving back up. When you watch Parsons, are we seeing something truly special here? I mean, he's putting up numbers that are just remarkable for a defensive player, let alone a rookie defensive player.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we haven't seen it in quite some time, right? I do think that is the question, right? I do think, in general, when looking at those positions, we would say that wide receiver is a little bit more valuable. So if you have a guy like Devontae Smith who hits at that position, he probably doesn't still compare to a guy like Micah Parsons if he is that, you know, once in a generation type player, which that's kind of how he has graded so far, right? So maybe he is, but it is really tough to sustain that pedigree, you know, without, you know, injuries and those sorts of situations playing some role at some time. So I do think we're going to see Micah Parsons potentially slow down a little bit, but in saying that, you know, he could easily be one of the top five best, you know, edge rushing defenders that we have in the NFL here going forward.
Yeah, he's been remarkable. Certainly a defensive rookie of the year favorite right now. Ben, I asked you about the NFC. How about the AFC? We're getting a big game on Monday night, the Patriots and the Bills. The Titans have had a good year. The Chiefs are kind of finding their way. The Ravens have a good record, even though it's been kind of bizarre how they've won some of these games. Who do you believe is the best team in the AFC right now?
Yeah, I mean, when it's all said and done, I am going to go back to the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, you know, with Patrick Mahomes and what he provides at the quarterback position, there's just not too many other teams that can beat them when they're playing at their absolute best. So I like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, too, to a certain extent with Buffalo. I do think, you know, the questions surrounding how well he's played in the 2021 season are, you know, maybe going to be relevant here at some point. But I would say those two are definitely the class. And then, you know, New England's there. I still think, you know, how they play and how they perform and rely not as much on Mac Jones makes me a little bit more uncomfortable for how they can actually beat somebody in the AFC playoff race, especially a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think that's going to be the question, but I would still have the Chiefs and the Bills as those 1 and 2 teams, as boring as that sounds.
Ben, it's all right to be boring if that's the what the what the numbers say. Ben, let's end with this. Before you came on, we were playing a clip of our old coach here in Philadelphia. Doug Peterson was on a podcast with the local media member, and he was talking about Jalen Hurts, who he coached last year, and he was kind of preaching patience, that if you give it time, Jalen Hurts could be a really productive and good quarterback for the Eagles. And we fight with that itch to not have patience here in Philadelphia. When you observe and you break down and you grade young quarterbacks, is there a kind of time period, number of starts, games, years? How do you know you have what you have? How long do you think is enough time to fairly give a young quarterback and you start feeling like, all right, this is probably the path they're on?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, once you start to hit that 10 to 15 game threshold, you can start doing, you know, some of the work as far as projecting out how well he is going to be based on what we've seen from previous career projections, right? So I think 10 to 15 games is probably an accurate measure, and that's kind of where we are at with Jalen Hurts. And I think that the answer to Jalen Hurts is he's going to be the guy that can win you a Super Bowl on his rookie deal. You don't necessarily have to make the decision past that right now, but he's a player that's probably worth building around based on what he's done through this first, you know, 10 to 15 games in his NFL career.
Great stuff, Ben. Appreciate you hopping on. Have a great weekend, and we'll be reading at Pro Football Focus. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Have a great show.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Brown, Pro Football Focus. Obviously, he's a believer in Jalen Hurts, and he thinks the best team in the NFC, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have been kind of quietly having another good season. They're, I think Tampa Bay's, what, 8-3 now? 8-3, and they head to Atlanta this weekend. I might have a pick on that game later when we do NFL picks. 215-592-9494 to hop in. All right. You've been waiting on hold. We'll get you up here, and we've been discussing a couple things. Number one, when it comes to the game on Sunday, it certainly sounds, and Tucker, if anyone just hopped in now, let's play Nick Sirianni from earlier today. Sirianni answering the question right off the bat today. It's Friday afternoon press conference. Sirianni at the podium. The question about his quarterback situation, health of Jalen Hurts. I heard this today, and I felt like there's a real chance it is not Hurts on Sunday. Here is what Sirianni said about his quarterback situation.
We still got time to make that decision. Jalen's questionable. But we still have a little less than 48 hours to let the body heal, see what's going on, even a little bit more. So that it's an unknown right now.
It's an unknown right now, according to Nick Sirianni, if it's going to be Hurts or Minshew. We did hear this week, and reporters had said that Minshew had gotten some first-team snaps in practice. So that's significant to me as well. I don't think the Eagles are using their own valuable practice time for a complete smokescreen. That would be really silly. I think Minshew's getting snaps because they're not sure if Jalen Hurts can run enough to play.
Also, what does it say? I know they're an NFL team and you should respect all your opponents. What does it say about the Eagles? They feel they need a smokescreen to beat the New York Jets.
It'd be pretty sad.
I mean, like, you're not going up against the Buccaneers or the Ravens or the Chiefs or any of those teams we just mentioned 5 minutes ago. You're going up against the Jets.
Yeah, like if Jalen had been taking most of the first team snaps and yet he was still questionable and Sirianni went to the podium today and did the same thing, then I would say that is a smokescreen, because what's like actions speak louder than words in almost everything in sports. Minshew's getting first team snaps this week. He's taking practice reps from Jalen Hurts this week, I think for one reason. They think they might have to use him on Sunday and they want to be prepared. That's smart to do. And as I look forward to the game on Sunday, if it is Minshew, and it certainly sounds like it could be, I think the offense will be worse with Gardner Minshew. And I'm not blasting the Eagles for putting him out there. If Jalen Hurts is hurt, he's hurt. You can't put a hobbled player out there for no reason. Like, I get it. If Minshew has to play, he has to play. But I think this offense will be worse. It is not built to throw right now. They don't have very good wide receivers. This running game is the structure of the offense. Everything goes off of Jalen Hurts' legs. It'll be completely different. And I'm just not, like, enthused at the idea of Gardner Minshew going out there and having a big game. Gardner Minshew's got a Ryan Fitzpatrick quality to him. Yeah, I mean, he could have a nice quarter or two and get everyone excited, but Fitzpatrick does that. And then what does he do? He stinks again.
Breaks a hip?
Breaks it. Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen to Gardner. But, yeah, Tucker seems to think that Gardner Minshew will make the offense better on Sunday. Where are you, Eli? 215-592-9494. And when you call in, let's see if anyone get this tonight. We were looking back at the box score last time the Eagles played the Jets, 2019, October 2019. Four Eagles scored that day. Eagles won the game 31-6 over the Luke Falk-led Jets, and they moved to 3-2 on the season. Four Eagles scored. Three of those players are no longer on the team. One still is. When you call in, we can have you try to guess. Tucker will play a clip, but the we'll have Merrill bleeped out as he announces the touchdown. You try to guess who that player is. Kyle was up earlier. He his phone went out. He's back now. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, what's up, Joe? Sorry about that earlier. So where we left off, I think you had two of the quarterbacks. You had Aaron Rodgers and you had
Herbert.
Herbert, yeah. The other guy that I was going for, he doesn't play anymore. His career was kind of all over the place, but he was the first overall pick in Alex Smith from Utah.
Oh, I would say he had a good career. Though I would say, I'm trying to remember, Kyle, I don't think Utah was in the Pac-12 then, though. I think they were Mountain West team, and they moved after
that
he was gone.
That could be true, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember when he was taken number one, and I think it was 2005, it was kind of controversial because, you know, he wasn't from a big school. You know, he wasn't even playing, you know, big-time teams. He was playing at Utah. And do you remember who his coach was there, Kyle?
Wasn't it Urban Meyer?
It was, yeah, Urban Meyer. Yes, that was when the two of them kind of became famous together. What are you thinking about Sunday? You think the Eagles are worse with Minshew?
If Jalen Hurts is going to be hobbled to the point where he can't get around very well, I still think they'll be worse because I don't think Gardner Minshew's any good, but I don't think it's a huge disparity.
Gotcha. Kyle, you want to try to guess who the touchdown scorer is that we'll play here?
Yeah, I'll take a stab at it. I'm not sure if I'm going to get any of these right.
All right, here we go. Tucker, play him a touchdown. Jets, Eagles, 2019. Let's see if Kyle can name this Eagle.
Ertz out to the far side of the field. In the gun is Wentz. Wentz takes the snap. Here comes the rush. Let's go. Complete into the end zone. Touchdown.
That pressure got to him. Now, they're bringing pressure, but when you bring pressure, you have to be concerned on the back end. The Eagles take advantage of it. They pick up the blitz. They find the favorite target right at the end zone.
First touchdown for the season, an 11-yard game.
Kyle, who scored that touchdown?
So one of the announcers kind of gave me a hint there. He said Wentz's favorite target, I believe. And I'm not sure if this is correct, but I'm going to take a stab at it being Zach Ertz.
Kyle, you got it. Ding, ding, ding. Yes, it was right. Zach Ertz. All right, so we appreciate the phone call. You have a good night, Kyle. So we have now hit three of the four Eagles to score the last time they played the Jets. It was Nate Gary, Orlando Scandrick, and Zach Ertz. That was an interesting one because right at the beginning there, you heard Ertz, and then but he was in motion, I guess. That was why they said his name. And then we bleeped out the other Ertzes.
Yeah, I wanted to throw him off.
Yeah.
You don't know that Ertz is the touchdown scorer at the time.
Well, I don't think Kyle picked up on that because he didn't say he heard the name. He heard favorite target.
Right.
That was your hint there because obviously Zach Ertz at that time was a favorite target.
Also a little misleading that it was his first touchdown in week five.
Yeah, you would think at that point. And wasn't I believe that we're coming off of a 100-catch season by Ertz in 18.
Correct.
And then he started to go downhill a little bit.
He always had 40 catches in December, though.
Well, I remember Ertz against the Washington football team was the most amazing.
He had 14 catches one game against them.
Was that the Mark Sanchez chip game? I think it was.
I think so.
Yeah, that was I remember it was a Saturday night game in December of Chip Kelly's second year here.
Yeah, they lost to Robert Griffin III started that game.
Yeah, that was the game I was out on Chip. I mean, when Chip first got here, I think I, like a lot of people, was a fan. I was excited for Chip Kelly to be the Eagles coach, and I thought good things could happen. And I think we all fell off at some point. We all threw the towel in on Chip at some point. Some people never did.
I still have my Chip towel.
Yeah, mine that night.
How did you feel during the Chip Kelly, Howie Roseman power struggle? Because I remember being worried that Chip Kelly was going to leave because of Howie Roseman.
Well, that was the whole thing, right?
That was the impetus of him eventually gaining power. Yeah. Was the two of them said we can't coexist, and Jeff Lurie had to pick one.
Well, and they won. I mean, it was perfect timing by Chip. They won 10 games his first year and won the division. What are you going to do? You wanted this guy. He was this big-time college coach. You're going to say no to him after he wins the division his first year? Would have taken a lot of guts by Lurie. I mean, ultimately, it probably would have been the right decision to do that. But, I mean, it all worked out the right way anyway. But that game against Washington that we just brought up, the second year, the Saturday night game against Washington, that was when I was out on Chip. I believe Sanchez threw 50 times, and I just Mark, you couldn't win with Mark Sanchez throwing 50 times. He may have had a nice completion percentage or whatever, but he wasn't terrible. He did throw a pick late in that game, but I just remember watching. I was like, they're throwing the ball 50 times with Mark Sanchez. This is not a winning formula. You can't do this.
He went 37 of 50, though.
I mean, I get it.
375 yards, two touchdowns.
Pick?
Yeah, but that's...
It was a backbreaker. Like, there's just...
They put up 500 yards of offense.
It was a backbreaker. There's only so many times you could throw at Mark Sanchez before bad things happen.
He also lost a fumble in that game, too.
Yeah, come on. I mean, like, you drop Sanchez back 50 times, you're asking to lose. Chris is in Delaware. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, Joey G?
How you doing, bud?
So the person that got pushed into the end zone was Jordan Howard. I remember that because I was so excited that we finally got a power running back. And then he gets hurt like a couple weeks later.
You're right, Chris. So you hit it. You hit it. It was Jordan Howard. He was the four touchdown scorer. So it was Jordan Howard. It was Zach Ertz. It was Nate Gary, Orlando Scandrick, the four Eagles that scored that night.
Yeah. And so the thing about Roseman, it's not that his picks are bad. It's just that the picks are just like crazy. Like the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside pick to me is worse than the Justin Jefferson pick. Because I'm like, you can't pass on a guy who's like 6'3", 260, that runs a 4.3 40. Like, that comes around like Calvin Johnson. And so that made people mad. And then the fact that you did it the next year with Jalen Reagor, it's like, bro, just take the obvious guy. Like, don't try to be like, I'm going to steal this guy in the first or second round where he's not supposed to go. Like, don't do that. And second of all, don't go make a trade for a Jannaar Avery, bro. Like, don't make that trade.
Yeah, that was a waste of time, that trade. That was like, I remember when they did it, I was like, why? Why did they get like a fourth round pick for Jannaar Avery?
Yeah, who was drafted, I think, in like the fifth round.
Yeah.
Like, who does that? Like, that makes no sense. So that's why I'm more upset at Howie. But so I look at like Rasul Douglas that goes to the Packers and then all of a sudden is like a really good corner. So it's like, is it really Howie's picks, or is it like the coach is not putting them in the right position?
Yeah, well, they also have to be aligned, right? You got to get players that your coaches want and can use and fit the scheme. So, like, I sometimes blame the GM, right? When a player, like, obviously the evaluation was that Rasul Douglas could play in the NFL, and that was right. He's an NFL player, but it didn't work here. Maybe that's because he picked the wrong player for the wrong system. You know what I mean?
I agree 100%. And the last thing, as far as Gardner Minshew, bro, I'm not putting any faith on anybody who couldn't beat Blake Bortles out for a starting job on one of the worst teams in the NFL. That's all I need to know about Gardner Minshew. Like, I know he looks like Uncle Rico and it's a joke and it's fun in games, but as far as a player, no, I'm all the way out.
Yeah, I Chris, man, I preached the phone call. I'm not out on Gardner Minshew. I like the trade when it happened. I think it was a smart trade by Howie Roseman. And look, no one wants to give Howie any credit here. If they win a game on Sunday and Minshew plays at an above-average level, it's a good trade. Like, that's why you trade for backup quarterbacks that have some semblance of talent. I mean, I feel better about Minshew playing than I would if it was Flacco. If it was Flacco, I think they would roll Jalen Hurts out there in a wheelchair rather than play Joe Flacco.
Maybe run the Wildcat? Just direct snap to Miles Sanders? Maybe put Greg Ward back there?
Well, we already had one call for Greg Ward playing quarterback.
Greg Ward could at least beat Temple in college. Something Gardner Minshew couldn't
see,
do.
See, now you're finally coming around to the real issue here. They couldn't beat Temple. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in. We'll come back. Your phone calls on the Eagles quarterback situation. If it is Minshew on Sunday, it certainly sounds like it could be. Do you believe the offense will be better or worse? I say it'll be worse on Sunday if it is Gardner Minshew in there. They can't run the football as well. It takes a big element of the run game away. And this group of wide receivers, I mean, let's just be honest about it. It's not very good. And Jalen Hurts has, you know, missed guys. He's been inefficient at times, but also his legs have created plays. Like the Goddard play a couple weeks ago, that play was created by Jalen Hurts' legs as much as a scheme or a player making the play for him. That's not going to be there if it's Minshew on Sunday. I think the offense, which has scored 25 points a game, will be worse if Hurts can't play in this game. How about you? And we get back the latest from Jeff McClain on the quarterback decision-making process for the Eagles. Right now, who's higher on Jalen Hurts in that building? Jeffrey Lurie or Howie Roseman? We'll hear what the latest report is coming up. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop aboard on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The NFL is heading into the home stretch, and they are giving us a big Week 13 divisional matchup between rivals Patriots and Bills. FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Look, I'm going with the road team in this one. I think New England is playing excellent football right now, and they're built to win games like this one could be against Buffalo, which is a one-dimensional team. weather up in Buffalo, wind, potentially snow. That's set up for a Patriots ground attack. The Bills don't even want to run the football. I love the Patriots getting points on Monday Night Football. I will take Damian Harris as an anytime touchdown scorer, and I'll take a prop on Josh Allen to throw an interception. FanDuel Sportsbook is sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. Offers like this, just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America, easy to use, and safe and secure. Plus, when you win, you get paid in as little as 2 hours. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. Already a FanDuel Sportsbook user, FanDuel is hooking up all customers with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50 too. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up promo code Jillio before this Monday night matchup. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code Jillio so they know I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.